Okay, this is we're looking at the effects of weather extremes on cotton acreage abandonment and insurance indemnities. And so what were the research questions? Were first, what were just the lost resource costs of cotton acreage abandonment? By this I mean these are all the acres that are planted to cotton but then not ultimately harvested. And then we wanted to look at how do different weather extremes affect abandonment. As Darren pointed out, that a lot of these effects are very non-linear. And so if you're just looking at changes in mean, small differences may not pick something up. We want to try to look at what extreme effects do. And then we also were looking at crop insurance indemnities, because actually data from USDA's RMA Risk Management Agency collects data on why claims are made. So we can actually try to look at what weather extremes are the cause of the of insurance payment. And then we wanted to look at some of the regional variation in crop insurance claims and payments. So the first thing we were interested in was the lost resource costs of acreage abandonment. Very simply, we were just looking at all the acres that were abandoned, and we just said, well, what are planting costs? So these are all sunk costs that you know, were put into putting cotton in the ground, but then not ultimately harvested. And even if some of these losses are insured, they're still a loss to society. And so basically, we took enterprise budgets from the areas where most of the abandonment occurred and just totaled up the planting costs for that. And one of the things you can see here is that this is total abandoned acres. This is up to 5 million in 2011. The total cost of this is quite a lot. In 2011, it was, you know, almost $1 billion in just foregone costs. In a lot of years, it's over a quarter of $1 billion. And with most kind of natural disasters, you see this kind of pattern where things are not normally distributed. You have some years where there's relatively modest losses, but you can have some humongous years. And again, the Southern Plains, Texas, and Oklahoma, they account for a large share of the abandoned acres. There are a lot of acres abandoned in Georgia and South Carolina this year, but most of the abandonment occurs in the Southern Plains. The next thing we did some multivariate analysis from NAS data, where they actually had county level data that split out acreage by irrigated acres and non-irrigated acres for the last decade. And we looked at what different kinds of variables might explain percentage of acres abandoned. You know, this is percent of acres that are irrigated, cooling degree days, heating degree days. Basically, these two variables are really measuring heating and cooling requirements. They're usually for energy. It's kind of cooling degree days are kind of an estimate of when you would have your air conditioning on. Heating degree days are when you'd have your heaters on. It's kind of a measure of whether the halfway between the high and low is above or below 65 degrees. So it's basically capturing extremes. We also looked at the Palmer Modified Drought Index, and this determines whether a particular area is drier or wetter than its 30-year average. So farmers adapt. Like in Arizona, we don't get much rain, but everybody knows that. And so the idea is that what the Palmer Index is telling you, not only is it wet or dry in an absolute sense, but is it wetter than drier than what local producers are used to. And they're non-symmetric effects. The Palmer Index goes from -7 for very very wet to 7 for very dry, and so we split that out into whether they're wet effects or dry effects. We also looked at the cotton future price drops to see if, you know, once you have cotton in the ground, if the price of cotton is starting to tank as the year goes on, are you more likely to pull acres out? And here are the results. We had over 1,000 observations for multiple counties in those states. The percent irrigated reduces abandonment. Cooling degree days, heating degree days, basically cooling degree days are kind of extreme hot, number of days that are extremely hot. Heating degree days are ones that are extremely cold. You have wet and dry. very dry. The actual square term is also positive, which indicates that the more dry it gets, it has an amplified effect on abandonment. Irrigation counteracts the effect of having basically a severe drought almost exactly. It's nonlinear, so it's kind of hard to see, but if you plug the numbers in, it almost exactly counteracts that. If the cotton future price drops over the season, then you get more abandonment, as you'd expect. So what do we find? Too many hot days or cold days increase abandonment. Irrigation reduces it. Drier than normal conditions increase abandonment. Irrigation counteracts that, and changes in price expectations matter. Okay, there's a lot of work to be done. The variables we have in there, the good news is they're all significant. They kind of have signs and magnitudes that make sense and are pretty easy to interpret, but they're only explaining 30% of the variation. We don't have things like state dummy variables in, which would goose up the R squared, but there's more work to be done. We have a lot of zero values, so you might want to do Tobit regression. There's other things you could do. Use unbalanced panel data, some kind of unbalanced panel Tobit. One wanted to do fancier econometrics. Obviously, more variables and updating to new years would be useful. Okay, shifting gears, looking at Arizona and New Mexico crop insurance indemnity payments over the last decade that RMA has data. Cotton is number one in Arizona, both for indemnities and for claims. I was actually surprised. It didn't surprise me that cotton had the most claims. It really did surprise me, given that there's so many high-value crops, you know, specialty crops in Arizona, that cotton was the big dollar value one as well. But it accounts for a lot of acreage. A lot of the high-value crops don't account for very much acreage, even though they account for a lot of dollars per acre. In New Mexico, wheat was the major source of indemnities. There's a lot of dry land wheat grown in New Mexico, and that accounts for the claims. Cotton was number three. If we look at Arizona indemnities by claim category, you know, interestingly enough, cold and excess moisture are relatively large contributors to claims. Drought really isn't in a desert state. Interesting, irrigation supply failure was fairly large. So almost, you know, basically all of Arizona agriculture is irrigated. So drought really isn't an issue as long as you have water. And so really the problem is that, you know, irrigation supply failure, and this could break down into, it could be institutional surface water deliveries don't go in time, you don't get your allotment, you know, groundwater pumping equipment could fail, you know, your wells could run dry, but basically irrigation protects against drought as long as it's working. In New Mexico, you see that drought is the number one source of indemnity claims. Again, cold and excess moisture also account for some of these extremes too. So it'll be interesting when there's discussions about what will happen with climate change, that, you know, often it's, if it's colder and wetter, that could be bad too. If we look at annual Arizona indemnity payments, they shoot up and down, and again, there's a lot of variation in Arizona of what exactly the culprit is in any single year. And in New Mexico, drought is a lot more dominant as a cause for indemnity claims. Okay, so summing up, lost resource costs from abandonment can be pretty large. There are a lot of years where it was over $250 million, and it reached almost $0.9 billion in 2011. We're explaining about 30% of the variation with just a fairly small number of variables, but there's more work to be done. Again, cotton is the largest source of claims by far in Arizona. It's the third largest in New Mexico. The results for Arizona match those of LaBelle et al., who published something in Climatic Change a while back for California. They wanted to look at how was climate extremes going to affect California agriculture, and their surprising result was it wasn't heat, it wasn't drought. It was actually times when it was too cold and too much rainfall, which were causing most of the insurance indemnity claims. Again, we find that irrigation negates the effects of drought if it's working. So irrigation could be a technological sort of insurance policy, but in the case of Arizona, it often wasn't working. That's it.
Any questions?
Just a comment there. Mm-hmm. Is that it seems almost vested in what your result in that cold and the hot and the term that's kicked around that I talked about is extreme. Mm-hmm. And so it's not so much that you're dealing with more small amount, but you're
growers know that farming's variable, and within a certain bounds, people have already adapted. It's only when you get beyond, certain thresholds that you start to get any kind of an effect. And that's why some of these effects, like the Palmer Index is really measuring deviations from what's normal for that area. So it's kind of accounting for the fact that, growers are adapting to their local conditions, and, they're smart. And so they can handle, a certain amount of variation. If it gets beyond a certain point, then it's harder to deal with. And you can see things like, especially for Arizona, if you're growing and it's 110 degrees and you're expecting to have irrigation water, well, you're not counting on doing dryland agriculture when it's 110. So it's not surprising you're going to have problems then.
Just one more question, too. If you consider or think about in that as to what this historical data station area. Mm-hmm. How that's going on with, like you say, growing positions and how we're looking at this. Do you think that what we've had, looking at the weather we've had, that kind of thing, do you think that's going to be reliable for us to look at the insurance
Well, some of those indexes, they update slowly over like 30 years for, the insurance indemnities, it's kind of hard to say. The other thing about the insurance indemnities, just because of the way USDA collects the data and how they actually process the information, you have to be really careful about trying to match things up, because you could have a crop loss, and by the time you actually get paid for that, it could be 2 years later. So that's why one of the reasons we were actually looking at the claims, if you try to look at the claims and match it with some measure of climate or weather, it's hard to actually, you can't really do that, because you may get your payment 2 years later. So that's why we were actually going to the original claim data to look at what growers, which effects people were saying mattered, instead of trying to do like regressions to get at that. Because the lag structure is really complicated. And the lag structure is complicated just because of the bureaucracy of USDA finally getting people their checks.
All right, thank you very much.